You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, hit it!
Yeehaw!
Hey, good morning. I hope everybody's okay. We got an exciting show set up for you this morning. This is Trevor Hutchison, the Crown Prince. We're not allowed to say that, but the Crown Prince is joining us this morning from Crown, and we're going to talk about some technical issues with Crown. Nothing bad, but only good. Amy Bradley is going to join us from Wayfair. She's the RV expert. She's actually the adjuster for RV, and she's going to talk about some interesting stuff that I didn't even know, and I'm not into RVs, so that was pretty easy to do that.
Well, that's why it's important, because, you know, there's a lot of first timers out there, you know, that because of COVID, a lot of people were doing staycations, right, Dave? And they were first time RV owners. Anyways, got some great info about that. And lastly,
Paul Tonet is going to join us from WD-40. I use that stuff for the last 50 years. So we're going to actually talk to the people that make it. It's going to be an interesting conversation.
That's for sure. People, I keep thinking about, you know, the there's a commercial for the hot sauce, and it's like, you can put that stuff on anything.
Anywhere, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I've always thought about WD-40. You can spray that almost anywhere. We're going to find out what products they have, because they got products other than the regular spritz that you're talking about, eh?
You know, and we used to buy it in cases, and then we started buying it in gallons and putting it into our own spray bombs.
Right.
And it actually does work quite well. So we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. I want to remind everybody, we have a big Crown contest. You get a Crown application plus $250 worth of stuff. And all you have to do is go to davescornergarage.com and enter. We only want your name and your email address and your postal code, so we know where you are. And we're giving away five of those prizes. So this is the second, I think two more weeks are left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, two more weeks are left. Now, did you know, I didn't know, this was a conversation with Amy this morning, that Thanksgiving is the official end of renting out RVs.
Why is that? People don't want to go out after because of weather change? No. What's the deal?
Yeah, because of the weather change, and because of the weather change, pipes could freeze, and people have winterized these vehicles, and so it ends up they wouldn't get covered by insurance. So bottom line is you can only rent an RV up to Thanksgiving, and then it's no go.
Okay, well, it's perfect that we've got her on the show, because there's those tips plus a whole lot more that she's going to talk about.
Yeah, she's going to talk about how to winterize your RV and all the other stuff. She's really a smart gal. So take it away, Al. When we come back, we're going to talk about dead skunk in the middle of the road.
Ew, stinking high heaven. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Good morning, everybody. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Carlos is behind the there and behind the screen, keeping us safe during these fantastic times of a plague. And we've got Dave doing the safe transmission over there. Dave, where are you today?
Actually, we made it out to the cottage. No kids, just Barb and I. Ooh. And we had a nice dinner. We found this restaurant near the lake, on the lake, actually. And it was nice. We were just the two of us. We had a couple of beer and just enjoyed the sunset. It was beautiful.
I didn't know your wife's a beer drinker?
What does she call that? Strongbow.
What's Strongbow. That? I haven't heard of that.
It's rotted apple juice.
Oh, like cider, is it?
Yeah, it's like cider. I tasted it. It tastes like terrible. Oh. I was going to say crap, but I can't say it on air.
All right. We're going to talk
so
about
we had
go ahead.
Email. Yeah, Steve got an email that a guy was driving down the road, and he could not miss hitting a dead skunk in the middle of the road, and he's got it all over his car, and now he wants to know how to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, right? When I heard you say that, we talked about this earlier, I think the first thing I would do is look for an open car wash, eh?
Yeah. I would actually go to Crown. No, I'm not.
I think Trevor will really appreciate that. You'll really stake anyway, out the whole place.
So I looked it up, and the bottom line is it takes a quart of 3% hydrogen peroxide. I see that on our sink all the time. I don't know what it is and what it does.
Where can you buy a quart bottle of it, though?
What is it?
I think hydrogen peroxide, I think they use it for dyeing, but I think you can also use it as an antiseptic, too.
Okay, so yeah. So it's a quart of 3% hydrogen peroxide, a quarter cup of baking soda, and 2 teaspoons of liquid dish soap. And that's the formula to remove this stuff. So I guess you got to put it in some kind of a sprayer, spray the car down, and hold your nose, or your olfactories, I think, as they call it.
Yeah, I think that for the most part, it comes out as an oil, and you've got to break down that oil, because if you just put water on it, it'll just run right off. But
it's actually dangerous to humans. It causes breathing problems.
It causes a big financial hole in your pocket, too. You know,
imagine?
You ever hear the dogs barking, and so I open the door and I let the dog in? Woohoo! Next thing you know, you got to redecorate the whole house, you know, because the dog's rolling around on the carpet in the living room, jumps up on the couch, and you got to get rid of everything. You can't fix it after.
I still remember that Seinfeld episode where the car stunk so bad that nobody would drive it. Terrible stuff. Okay, that's some serious stuff we should talk about. And that is, there's a disconnect between the technology that's coming out and the owner of the vehicle. The bottom line, the guy used to know what's going on under their hood. Nowadays, you know, you open the hood, why bother? You
know, well, just right. I always laugh when I ask people, when's the last time they checked their oil? And they say, just recently. And then I ask them to open the hood, and they don't even know how to do it. So, duh, caught you. They don't, you know. But I think one of the issues for me is that because we have so many computers in the car right now, people driving them thinks that the computer knows everything.
Well, you know, the Toyota I have doesn't even have a dipstick in the engine. Mm-hmm. You actually have to sit on the side of the road, bring the revs up to 2,000 RPM, and push a button. And the thing has an electronic oil level indicator, and it'll come up and tell you how much oil is in the motor.
Right, but you learn that because you either someone told you about it or you read it in the owner's manual, correct?
Yeah. You know, RTFM.
Right, but there are people that don't read the manual, assume that, you know, there's going to be a warning come up to say, oh, buddy, pull over because you have to add a liter and a half of oil, when that's not the case. You only get messages when it's actually too late. That's why they used to call them idiot lights, right? Because if you waited for the light to come on, then you really were an idiot.
Well, you know, I think two things here. One, I would take the owner's manual and put it in the washroom, because at least you'll spend some time and maybe read it. And number two, like, to set your car up, nowadays you can customize your car with the computer. You know, do the lights come on when you open the door, when you click the button, do all four doors unlock or just two doors unlock? There's so many variables, and the driver profile is set inside the vehicle. So you set it for yourself. The wife gets another set of keys, and she sets it for herself. And it's just too much technology. I mean, it's just a car.
Well, you know what? It's nice if it works, but you have to know what the car is capable of. I mean, I've brought it up before. I mean, my newer car has active cruise control, for example, where it's always looking out front, you know, to see that there's nobody else that's in front of you, whether it's a wall or another vehicle. On the old days, you know, you set your cruise control on. If someone jammed his brakes on in front of him, you were going right up his butt. I mean,
that's right.
So you have to know whether your car is capable of doing those things, if it can react for you instead of after the fact having to, you know, call Abrams for a tow because you just had a crash on the highway.
Tell you a funny story. We have this, one of our cars has this system, and it was in the winter, and it was covered with snow. And Barb gets into the car, starts it up, and it's beeping like crazy. You know, beep, 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 beep. Yep. And we can't figure out what's wrong with the car. And what was wrong with the car was the snow was covering the sensors and not working. As far as the car was concerned, we were inside the one in front of us.
Well, exactly. And in fact, that's one of the big problems they're having right now with the self-driving vehicles because, you know, the sensors on the car can see the lines on the road and see the pavement. Yep. But they can't if it's covered in snow. They get totally lost. And how's the car going to remain on the actual roadway if it can't see where the edges are, where the other side of the road is? These are things that they're going to have to come up with.
How much does it cost to fix that?
All the, again, that's another issue. I had an Infiniti a couple years back where, you know, this one of the sensors was bad, and because it worked with the cruise control, it shut down the cruise control. It wouldn't let you use it. And a lot of other vehicles do the same thing. For example, Toyota and Lexus, if you have an issue with your engine, you know, it may be just that you forgot to put the gas cap on or there's some misfire or something like that, then your anti-lock brakes won't work properly. Your airbags may not work properly. It shuts down other systems of the car because they say they all have to work together. If they're not networking properly, it's going to make disable it altogether, which is probably the best thing to do. But it does worry people when all three lights come on at the same time. All right, we got to take a break right now. We're going to be talking to Paul Tonnen from the Vice President of Sales of WD-40 right after this break. And let's find out what you can actually use that stuff on. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. You know, it's great if you've got a tool that you can pretty much use on anything. And we do have on the phone with us Paul Tonnet from WD-40. Dave, take it away.
Well, good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Great to be here.
I know we were talking about it earlier this morning. Any day you wake up is a great day. That's what the philosophy is around here. So tell us a little bit about WD-40. What's the history of the product?
Well, glad you asked. You know what? WD-40 company was born from rocket science. And you think back in the 50s when government and industry came together, they were trying to build technologies for commercial and defense purposes. And a little company called the Rocket Chemical Company, located in San Diego, was part of that. So they were experimenting with chemical compounds to make rockets more reliable. And that rocket was the Atlas family of missiles. So part of the success can be attributed to this amazing little product the Rocket Chemical Company produced that displaced moisture and prevented rust and corrosion. And that compound was so successful, it was built into the missile program. And that compound was WD-40.
So WD means water displacement, and it was the 40th time that they tried to produce the formula?
That's correct. 39 attempts, the 40th was success, and WD-40 was complete.
Fascinating. We could have WD-39.
That's right, or 32.
Exactly, and if you don't succeed at first, just keep trying.
Well, that was the, you know, thank goodness that our team continued on and got it right.
Well, go ahead, Al. I'm sorry.
Sorry, we're just talking about, so many years later now, you've got a number of different products as well. I mean, you have the original WD-40 that you could pretty much use on anything. Maybe I should start there. Do you advise not to use the regular WD-40 on?
Well, WD-40, we actually have 2,000 uses, and our end users, our loyal customers have let us know everything from, using WD-40 on the zipper of their bowling bag to, you name it, removing crayons off the wall. Where we don't, you know, it's use common sense, look at the brand, look at the label on the brand, and just use good common sense and you'll be safe.
Now, sometimes you want a product that's going to last a little bit longer because when you do spray WD-40 on, I guess after a period of time, it dries or it dissipates, but you have other products that last longer as well, correct?
Yeah, so we have we know what made us famous, and that was the blue and yellow can with a little red top. Gary Ridge, our CEO, loves to say that. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, I just want to take 2 seconds and talk about a delivery system that we just launched. And it's a spray two ways. So we listen to our end users. And one of the pain points that, you know, always resonates is losing the straw. So we've developed a new delivery system. It's called Smart Straw, where the actual straw is attached to the mechanism. It sprays two ways. So if you want to spray or you want to stream, that straw is always in place. And it just happens to be child-friendly and senior, or child-resistant, pardon me, and senior-friendly. So it's a great, safe product to have under the kitchen counter or on your workbench.
Dave?
That was fascinating. We were talking about different products that WD-40 carries. Like, for instance, gel lube. And Al was talking where the stuff dissipates. This stuff sort of hangs around.
Yeah, so we have another complete line called WD-40 Specialist. And it's specific use brands that when you're a heavy end user or a professional tradesperson and you want something that's going to do an amazing job, we have everything from rust release penetrant silicone, white lithium, dry lube, spray and stay gel, like you're mentioning. So if you want something that's a little bit, you want it to stick and stay around for a bit, we have that. We have a complete line of engine degreasers and non-aerosol degreasers. So a complete line.
Now, if somebody wanted to get a hold of WD-40 and get on the website, can you give us that information?
Yeah, certainly. We're at www.wd40.com or Canada info at WD-40, and you can actually, the emails come directly to me.
You know, we used to buy it. We bought it by the case, but we also bought it by the gallon. And we used to put the trigger bottles, you know, fill them up with the WD-40. So you can private people can buy things like that in a gallon?
Yep, the gallon is still widely available at top retailers across Canada. And we actually sell it in 45-gallon drums as well. So if you're really...
Oh, that...
That would last you an awful long time, eh?
If you really want some WD-40, we can solve that problem for you as well.
I was just thinking that that's a whole year.
All right, Paul, thanks for joining us. We do have to jump. It's time to pay some bills. And again, WD-40.com. And I've been using that stuff for years. It works great. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
All right.
Thank you, Paul. Bye-bye.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. And speaking of rust and rust products, we're going to have Trevor Hutchison on after the break. But the whole idea there is to prevent the rust, not what to do if it gets rusty. But this is to prevent it from happening in the first place. We'll be back with Trevor and everybody else right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage. You know, just before the break, we were talking to the fellow from WD-40, and he was talking about where rust happens. And the whole idea is that we want to prevent the rust, and that's why we've got Trevor Hutchison on the phone with us. Trevor, how are you today?
Good morning, Alan. Doing really well, thank you.
Excellent. So how do we prevent rust from happening in the first place?
Well, that is the million-dollar question, isn't it? You know, the thought of trying to prevent rust is very difficult because we live in an environment that is so moisture-rich that rust is going to continue to develop, be created. And what we're trying to do is to mitigate the impact of it.
Exactly. Right? And if it was just the water, it wouldn't be so bad. It's the chemicals that they add to the water. Of course, there's salt. And now we have all kinds of brine, which work even better on the roads. But unfortunately, it works even worse on the car.
It's absolutely right. And cities now, even cities, you know, out in Western Canada that traditionally use just sand on the roads or because of the cold temperatures they got that never used to use brine on the road are now using it as a pre-wetting agent because they're seeing different environmental issues. And so, you know, manufacturers are working hard to keep up with things, but we've long been a proponent of trying to educate people to tell them that there's nothing that is rust proof. What you can do is through good maintenance, you can definitely prevent things from happening or, you know, prevent the damage from spreading. But it's something that you need to view as maintenance and not as, well, I'll do it once and never touch it again.
Well, thanks to the people at Crown. Dave, let's talk about the contest we got.
Well, first off, talking about winter is depressing.
That is very true.
I'm so depressed now. Anyways, one of the things we were talking about before in the green room was Crown is actually looking for employees.
Yeah, it is one of our biggest challenges right now is that, you know, business is exceptionally good. We're continuing to grow, adding you know, new dealerships, not just in Canada, but also in many states in the U.S. But one of the biggest challenges is trying to find enough qualified employees to work. So, you know, if you're out there, if you know someone that it's, you know, looking for a job with a good company and good opportunities, please go to our website and you can look at your local area and see if they're hiring. But many of our shops are definitely doing it. Even at our head office, we've been hiring recently as well.
If somebody's listening to the show, is there a specific site? Can they go to your website and find them?
If they go to crown.com, you'll see a link at the bottom for employment where you can apply right online like that. We know a lot of businesses right now. There's no question that we were talking earlier about, you know, the food and beverage industry. All kinds of industries are struggling right now for personnel. So I know we're not alone with it. But it is a challenge of our current system that with what's happened with the pandemic and the situation with what people have been able to do for work and now starting to come back to work, we're hoping that things will start to pick up in the next few months as far as there being more people looking for jobs. But it's definitely an issue for sure.
Dave, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about technology and computers. Apparently that's causing special issues as well with Crown.
Yeah, the ability that it doesn't, all the connectors, Crown has the ability to keep the connectors clean rather than rusting and turning green. And I think that's an important part of the process, right, Trevor?
It's a very big part of the process, especially with electric vehicles coming out. You know, Alan, you mentioned about the brine, and it's not just the water. But when you take water and mix it with these chemicals, is that they actually become conductors. And that creates an issue with everything from battery terminals to the higher voltage connections for electric vehicles. And so I know it's something that for us, as far as a research and development point of view, that we've been spending many years now, not just working on retail vehicles, people's cars and trucks, but working with manufacturers in the heavy duty industry to try to find a way to be able to, again, mitigate the damage. Because there's only so much manufacturers can do. You can't wrap a vehicle in a bubble to protect it against everything that's out there. So, you know, when you think about it, we have, you know, treatments for the paint. We have treatments for the windshield. Tire technology is changing. And it's no different than in the rust protection industry, is that that also needs to continue to evolve so that we're addressing, you know, current issues as well as traditional issues that we see due to our climate.
Current issues, you mean electrical problems you're talking about?
Electrical problems.
you may not be aware of it, though, but a lot of the computer lines in the car actually run on very low voltage. So if you've got too much resistance there, you're going to mess up those sensors and the readings they get as well.
That's right. And you know, things like even when you don't have moisture, just even dust creates an issue. So anything that'll hold dust to it, it's a real challenge, right? Like, you know, companies like, you know, Ford have had a lot of issues with, say, EVAP sensors. And it's part of because of where it's located on the vehicle. But a lot of manufacturers have sensors that are placed in areas that maybe, you know, work in the manufacturing process, but in the operating part of it, maybe aren't as favorable from not creating an issue in some cases.
Well, so you don't want that, you know, you don't want that brine to create a pickle of an issue for you.
Little humor there, very little. Just something that Freeman said, and that people don't know Freeman Young, he's the CEO of Crown. How green is it to keep a car on the road versus building a brand new car? And I think the numbers are like 1 to 20. I mean, the reality is keeping the vehicle running and safe is way more green than having to buy a new vehicle.
Oh, yeah. There's so many factors to that, you know, economic factors. But if you look at the green side of it, and we partnered with the University of Windsor a number of years ago to do a study on the impact of vehicles prematurely going into, you know, scrap yards.
Retirement.
And the fact is that, you know, vehicles are well built if we maintain them. And so, and proper maintenance isn't just one side. It's not just, well, do rust protection and your vehicle will last. Because if you don't do good mechanical maintenance, you're also going to run into an issue. And so that's why we're such big proponents with, you know, the automotive trade industry as a whole, that if we help people, you know, spend regular scheduled maintenance dollars, that it will save them 10, 12 times what they'd end up spending in vehicle payments if they're not doing regular maintenance, or if they're just flipping vehicles, you know, every 3 to 4 years.
You know, the interesting thing that I see is at the auto auctions, like at the wholesale level, a car comes through and it's got your buttons in the door where you've drilled the holes and applied the product. It gets more money than one that doesn't. So two comparable cars go through. The one that's been rust-proof brings more money on the wholesale level because they're more assured that it's a solid car.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and people can tell, like, you know, if you can tell a vehicle's been maintained, and I think that's what it says to people. One is obviously what they're able to see when they look at the body. You know, that tells them the condition it's in. But, you know, if we're buying a vehicle and we go get, say, a Carfax report, or we take it to a trusted mechanic and ask them to give us their opinion on it, if we know that the person we're buying it off has done the regular scheduled maintenance, that's the vehicle we'd prefer to buy compared to one that hasn't had it done on it. And so, you know, you should be able to get more money for it. And right now, that's one thing the last 18 months has told us. Used vehicles have been at the highest premium they've been at in decades.
It's absolutely correct. It's like wartime. The reality is that they can't get chips to build cars. And apparently this is going to drag on to the mid-2022s. In other words, next summer, before they can actually get enough chips to build the amount of cars that they've sold. Well, then, so it's a really, really, really serious problem.
Right. And the point is if you haven't maintained your vehicle, it's a good time to do it. And in fact, you guys are sponsoring, we've got a special coming up, right?
We do. We've got a fantastic program that's launched with you guys in the contest. And I would encourage your listeners to go to that, because on our website, we offer promos and that. But the best offer we have going right now is the contest with Dave's Corner Garage. So we'd encourage everybody to work at applying for the contest there, as well as check out our website at www.crown.com. And under the offers tab, you'll see what our current offer is corporately. But you can also phone your local Crown Center, because in different areas, our shops will be running different promotions at certain times of the year.
All right. So if you want a free one, you go to davescornergarage.com. You enter your name. And that package is not tiny. I mean, it's worth about $250, right?
Yeah, it's a good package, but I mean, you know, that's what your listeners expect. They know what they get from you guys. So
they deserve it.
They do deserve it. If they loyally listen to you guys each week, we want to make sure and thank them too. Because I got to say, guys, like, you know, your customer base, because we have a lot of customers that for our business model, having educated consumers that know why they're doing maintenance on their vehicle, it is the best form of advertising for us, because,
absolutely,
you know, word of mouth has built our business, and we want people to know what they're doing, and you continue to educate people about maintenance of vehicles, and so we greatly appreciate the partnership.
Well, and thank you for calling in too with that great info as well. And again, you've supported us for many, many years, and it's a great working relationship that we do have. You guys have great products. You stand behind the products, the service. Why wouldn't we? This is Dave's Corner Garage. We want to thank Trevor Hutchison from Crown joining in. And again, go to davescornergarage.com if you want a chance to win a free application, plus floor mats and a whole bunch more. After the break, we're going to be talking to Amy Bradley. She's from Wayfarer Insurance. You know, and just how we were talking about car maintenance, we're going to be talking about trailer maintenance and mobile home maintenance. Bet you didn't know you had to take care of that one. We'll be right back. You know, we certainly talk about maintenance, and everybody knows when you have a car, you have to change the oil and do things like that. But the influx because of COVID, people have been getting trailers, both trailers and motorhomes, and maybe they don't realize it. They need to be maintained as well. And I'm not just talking about the engine, but there's a whole lot more. And with us today, we've got Amy Bradley from Wayfarer Insurance. Amy, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me back, you guys.
That's okay, Dave.
It's a pleasure to say. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Sorry about that. That's the kids. I was kicking them outside.
No problem. I left mine on the outside too. Listen, so we're going to talk about storing your RV, and it's more than just throwing a tarp over the hood. The reality is a lot of stuff that you have to do to make sure your RV doesn't freeze up. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. When you're, I always call it, you're pretty much, if you have a cottage, you store, you winterize your cottage, and your trailers are pretty much the same. You are storing your home away from home. So when you start doing this, you want to make sure that all your pipes are cleaned out. So that's your black water pipes, so your tanks, your gray water, everything out of there. And then once you have them cleaned out, you, the best thing to put in is your antifreeze. This way, because you know winter's coming up, your pipes won't freeze on you.
Is it a special kind of antifreeze that we use, or is it the kind of antifreeze we use in a car?
Do you know what? It's a special kind of antifreeze that you can get at your RV dealers. I know some, it's usually you'll, it will be an RV antifreeze that you should use, but it's, some people have their own particular ones that they want to use, but I always say recommend get the RV antifreeze because it is for your RVs.
Okay.
Amy, I have a question. A lot of RVs, certain not so much RVs, but motorhomes will have their own hot water. How do you deal with that?
Yes. So for your hot water tanks, you want to make sure when you're storing them away, you have them shut off. The last thing you want to leave is the hot water on because it will burn out your elements. And a great way of doing that is take out your batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Your battery, I should state, because that way nothing will be turned on within your trailer. Take out your battery and make sure that when you store your battery away, that you have it fully charged. This way, I told you I'm a cheap person and I don't like buying batteries year after year. So if you store your battery, do not store it on a concrete floor. You may ask me why. If you store it on a concrete floor, it will slowly take out your battery juice. So if you put even a board underneath it, that will keep it so your battery stays charged. And you should also make sure when you're storing your battery, once a month, just check it to make sure it's fully charged. Because if it starts going down a bit, you could hurt the life, like how long you have your battery for, like the lifespan of your battery.
Yes, and I'd probably like to add that ideally if you have a space inside your home rather than just in the garage or outside, that would be better as well because it's those minus, you know, 30, 40 degree temperatures that really do damage to the battery.
Yes, and once they freeze.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, once the battery freezes, the plates expand. And it's junk. So yep. Alan's absolutely correct. Take it in your bedroom and just keep it nice and cozy.
That's right. Put the blankets or baby it.
Kick the dog out, battery in.
All right. Speaking of funny smells, how do we prevent those?
Oh, within your unit. So when you're closing it up, make sure you take out all your food. Some people think, oh, you know, it's a cereal box. I can leave it in there. It's closed up. No, you want to make sure that's all taken out. You want to clean your cupboards out. And especially check your freezers in your units. Make sure all your food's out of there. And your fridges. Because if you leave any food in there, you're going to get a nasty smell, to be honest, by the time you open it up in springtime, and you're going to say, oh, my goodness. Plus, a lot of the units have carpets in it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you put your own carpet in when you walk through the doorway. I know I've got 5 kids, and I have that, and I make them take their shoes off. Make sure you vacuum everything and wash the floors. And if you can take out those carpets or even your, like, you know, if you have a toilet little carpet there, take that out too. Because mildew, mold, dust, they can accumulate on those. And that will help eliminate a musty smell when you go into use your unit in the summertime. Plus, a little trick that we've tried, and it does sort of work, is try your baking soda. You know, you keep it in your fridge, even, and it takes away the smell.
Mm-hmm.
You can leave baking soda, put it on a pie plate or whatever, or just leave the box there, and that will absorb some moisture and take the odors out. Just little tricks that we've learned.
Amy, thank you very much for those tricks. If people want to hear more, they go to rvingtips.ca. Is that the best way?
Absolutely.
And make sure your vehicle is covered by Wayfair Insurance. You don't want to be, you know, just because it's parked on the side of the house don't mean you don't need insurance. You still do, eh?
Absolutely. Yep. You want to make sure your home away from home is fully covered, and we are your expertise of people to call.
There you go. Thanks, Amy. Have yourself a great weekend.
You too. Bye, guys.
All right.
Take care, Amy.
Bye-bye. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Dave and I will be right back after these breaks. Well, I do want to thank Amy Bradley from Wayfair Insurance with some great tips there. Again, if you can go to rvingtips.ca if you need some more information. And it's important to maintain it. Dave, we talk about maintenance all the time. You got to maintain your car. You got to maintain your boat. You got to maintain your trailer.
And your marriage.
That's true.
You know, the guy was in court, and the judge says, how many years of happy marriage have you had? And he goes, 5. And the wife pipes up, says, we've been married for 43 years.
Right.
All right, I'll leave it there. A couple of things I wanted to say was, one, we have a rodent problem, or had a rodent problem at the cottage. And we bought these high-frequency generators. They're like $7 to $10 each. You get them at Amazon. You plug them in, and the mice and whatever is coming into the house don't show up. It's just keeps them away. So I think it's $33 for 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had an RV, I'd put one of those suckers in there.
Well, then you'd have to keep the power to it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, just run an extension cord into it.
Right. So, right? So you've done an actual test, and you saw the mice come in, they got close, mm-hmm. They went, oh my God, yeah. What's that ringing in my ear? And then they buggered off, eh?
Exactly right. So it's a high frequency generator. It actually keeps the bugs out too. So, stuff's available, and it's not, and then there's no chemicals or anything. They just don't show up. So I would have a look at that. Now, I was going to tell you a couple of things. One, got an email from a guy. It says, why can't electrical cars be towed? Apparently, these new cars, returning to electric, but you have to have all four wheels off the ground when towing an electric vehicle, an EV. And the reason is because the jet drive is directed continually, there's no clutches.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, when you're pulling it along the road, the electric motors are spinning and they'll tend to overheat and get damaged. So if you break down and you run out of juice, you're in trouble.
So you can't just grab a guy on the side of the road with a horse and a rope. It's not going to work.
No, you'll actually damage the vehicle. So it has to be flatbedded or it has to use a dolly.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So second thing. JD Power is always testing the industry, let them know all the goods and bads. And what they have is flaws in new cars. In other words, how many things went wrong with 100 cars? And they have sort of put it into, I guess they would call it the quality of the build.
Mm-hmm.
So the most quality, by the way, is Ram and Dodge. They're the top of the list. As far as you're wearing a Ram truck or a Dodge truck, top of the list. Lexus, Mitsubishi, Nissan, and Kia. Shows you price isn't always the factor of quality. And then below average, we have Porsche, GMC, Jaguar, BMW, and Cadillac.
Ooh.
So, right? I wonder if that has to do with the complexity of the car rather than, you know, if the car is nice and simple and there's not too much that can go wrong, will go wrong. So the reality is the quality is better if the car is simpler.
I think I agree with you. You know, like they say, the more toys you have in your car, the more things there are to go wrong.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, at the bottom of the list are cars like Mercedes-Benz, Land Rover, Subaru. I mean, these are good brands, but apparently because they're so technical, they'll have more issues.
Exactly.
Or maybe the owners are more picky. I don't know.
No, I think it's the toys that break, and that's the point of it, you know, and then people feel totally useless because they don't know how to fix these things. And again, you know, we talked about computers easier before that. All they get a message on their screen, it says something's not functioning, but they don't know how to fix it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, and then of course we can Google almost everything nowadays though.
That's true. And you know what? There's also the where other people make comments and you get ideas of what's going on with those. You know, there's clubs and stuff like that. There's lots of information. I want to do a quick email.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 2006 Solstice. Mm-hmm. That's that little Pontiac convertible.
Yep.
Low beam and high beam work. Parking lights work. But the DRL does not work. I went under the hood, says, and found an empty fuse. I wonder if that's the problem.
Well, if it's empty, and you can certainly put one in and see what happens. But, again, give us a call on Monday, and I'll be happy to look into it for you, because if it's an American car, it may not have DRL.
Oh, I never thought of that.
There
yeah.
you go. All right, we want to thank our guest, Trevor Hutchison from Crown. We want to thank Amy Bradley from Wayfair Insurance. Some great tips. Go to RVingTips.ca. And our new pal, Paul Tonnet from WD-40. They've got some great products. They've got other products besides the WD-40. Go to the WD-40.com website for more information. Dave?
That's it. Keep the shiny side up, and we're going to be back here next week. We got a great show lined up for next week. We're always working a week ahead. Anyways, good night. Bye, everybody. Have a great weekend.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.